Blog Talk Radio.
Show. Some of the things that we're just going to talk about tonight are just going to be like just a general conversation, you know, some things that we plan to have, you know, on our show in the upcoming weeks. So, Amy was going to be in chat tonight, so we're going to be talking, you know, just general questions and things like that. So, anyways, I hope that everyone's doing great. And that you enjoy our show tonight. So, yes. So, getting right into it. Let's see. Next week, we are going to be doing interview, hopefully. Hopefully, we're going to keep one scheduled. Yeah. So, if anyone wants to call and just chat tonight, that's great. Okay, yeah. We wanted to know, Amy and I wanted to know if anyone wanted to call in with their experiences with the paranormal. All right. The Rougarou? Yeah, that's it, the Rougarou. I thought it was the Lougarou. Yeah, I know what they're talking about, Amy. Yeah, they were talking about the Rougarou. I thought it was the Lougarou. All right. Well, I didn't know we were going to talk about the Rougarou tonight. Although I'm trying to get my speech together. All right, Amy, I don't know much about the Rougarou. Maybe if you would like to kind of throw some questions out there, maybe I could answer them specifically. I mean, I can't just talk about it off the top of my head. If you want to just ask some general questions about it. Oh yeah, I know, and I haven't heard much about them either. Well, I believe that the Rougarou. Hold on. Yeah, well, Rougarou. Now, is it supposed to be a werewolf, Amy, or is it supposed to be like is it like some kind of like beast-like creature that roams around Louisiana and eats people or something like that? Because I'm not sure. Because I've seen like I've been looking it up, and sometimes people describe it as a werewolf. Some people describe it as like this beast-like creature. So I wasn't really sure what exactly, a Lougarou Rougarou is, because I think it's a most of the time I think people refer to it as a werewolf, though. A curse. How is it a curse? That's interesting. I don't know. I've never heard. Yeah, I've never really heard of it being a curse. I've heard of it just being like just a creature, or something like a werewolf or something like that, like regular werewolf legends where you get bit, turn into a rougarou, I've never heard of like a curse. Interesting. Yeah. Really? Interesting. I thought it happened to women. I thought women could also become Lugurus. Interesting. Oh, thanks. Yeah, you know what? I think. Oh, okay, good. I like your question, Amy. That's a great question. Great question. Amy asked, "What's an experience I've had with the paranormal?" And that's a great question because I can go on about that tonight. Well, hold on 1 second. Well, it's a great question. My paranormal experiences started when I was 16. I started investigating when I was 16. One of the things that really sparked my interest was when I was 16, I used to work at this really, really, really old house that was in the 1800s. That's when it was built. I loved, working there. I used to volunteer there a lot and just clean up the place, And one, I've been, I had like tons of experiences there while working there, and I loved being around there. And that's really kind of what started it all for me, was I just loved being around there, and it really forwarded my paranormal investigation interest. One of the things that I really liked about describe some of those events. Well, some of those events would be like a black cloud around your leg, or being scratched, or when I mean a black cloud around your leg, sorry. And then like when you take a picture, there'd be like this black shadow-ish thing around your leg. And I've always ended up getting some of those. And well, of course, being scratched. Always feeling like breath on your neck, or feeling someone behind you. Those would be some of those kind of events. And being at this place really had, made me really interested, in the paranormal as a overall. What like really interests me is that is how you're always like learning something. It's a learning event, and that's something I really like about the paranormal, because you're always learning something new. So that's very interesting for me. But I mean, some of my experiences, have been like really like physical. It's where you feel something like a push, or like a force, or something, that you can feel on your chest, or something like that. I've always felt something like to that effect. But never, anything like mental. Like, I've never been like attacked mentally. And that's about it for my experiences overall. I mean, I don't know if you want me to go into more. Signals? What are you talking about, signals, Amy? Like, what do you mean, signals? I'm pretty confused about what you mean. Oh, my. Oh, I see what you mean. That's very good. Very good question. Trying to find a way to describe it to you. Well, no, I don't think that entity will keep on doing the same thing over and over and over again. I think that energy and emotion gets trapped. And I think that the same feeling, or the same experience that this person had, stays there. Because like, if someone committed suicide, you'd always feel the energy of someone committing suicide at that place. But I think the entities are, active conscious beings here. I think that they can pretty much do whatever they want. I mean, they're pretty much free to do whatever they want. I mean, they can follow you home, they can do whatever they want. I mean, they are completely free to do anything. But unless there's something controlling that entity, like another entity controlling that entity, that would be the only time when they're not like able to be active, in the sense where they're not free, to do what they want. So I don't know if Eleanor wanted to call in and talk about her book a little bit more, and some of the success she's had with it. Okay. Wow. But yeah. You know what's really interesting is how space weather can affect the paranormal. Because I've noticed that when there's like a high solar flare in the air, there seems to be a correlate to a higher paranormal activity. Like if there's more solar energy or solar, it drives the paranormal activity crazy. It's ridiculous. So I think that's pretty cool. Another thing that kind of really drives the paranormal activity, well, yeah, ley lines. Is the moon phases. Whenever there's a full moon, I've also noticed increased paranormal activity. Yeah, Oklahoma is a very haunted state, by the way. There's a lot of hauntings in Oklahoma. I don't know why Oklahoma is so haunted, but that's very interesting why you say that. You know, it's also another haunted state is Pennsylvania. That's another haunted state. So is Ohio. Ohio's another haunted state. Yeah. Maryland. Yeah, Maryland's pretty haunted too. Massachusetts. I wouldn't know. Well, I think Battle of Gettysburg, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty haunted too. That's a great place for like yeah. State Forest in Massachusetts. Yeah, the State Forest in Massachusetts, I don't know anything about that, but I know you talked about it, Amy. How they're haunted. You know, that's interesting that you bring that up. That's interesting that you bring that up because now I'm getting, I remember that. Well, in Florida, there is this place called Ocala National Forest, and there's a rumor, there's like a legend that there is, trying to like. All right. Well, the legend is that fairies live in the Ocala National Forest. I don't know if it's true, but supposedly fairies live there in the trees, and they attack people. So I don't know. Fairies aren't very nice, I guess. They attack people. Yeah, fairies. It's weird. I guess fairies like to live in the middle of nowhere. Very strange. They're pretty nasty, those little fairies. Yeah. Hurricanes make them active. That's true. That's true. 'Cause I'm sure when like the hurricane is moving over the forest and everything's like shaking, you know, I'm sure they kind of get pissed off and they're pretty much active because their home is being shaken. I don't know if how hurricanes make them active, but maybe it does. I don't know. But yeah, I've had heard that fairies live in Ocala National Forest. I don't know. There's the rainbow people. Weird. Oh, sorry, Illinois. Yeah, just call in again and I'll bring you in. Yeah, so just call in again and I'll bring you on. Yeah. receptors. You know, I don't know, that's a really good thing that you bring up shifters, because that makes me want to think of something now. You know, they actually think Bigfoot is not really Bigfoot. That Bigfoot is really just a shifter. That shifters are really what Bigfoot is. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. They think that Bigfoot's really just a shifter. And that these shifters live out in the woods, and that's what really Bigfoot it really is. I don't know. Interesting. I don't know why anyone would want to shift into that. No clue. Large and scary. Hello, is this Chris?
Yes.
Hey Chris, how are you? I noticed
Good.
your area code. I'm familiar with the New Orleans area code now.
Yeah,
So every
504,
time that someone
man.
calls in, I know who it is.
Well, hey, man, Amy's number should be 504, so.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
So you guys getting set up tonight in a private location? I know you didn't want to reveal it.
Yeah, we can't reveal it to protect the client's privacy. But it's in location. It's in New Orleans. That's about as far as I can go with that. But we're setting up right now. Just gonna work out some kinks, get the DVR system going, and then we're gonna go ahead and start working on some sessions and see if we can get the bottom of all these claims.
Awesome.
So you can see how the family had
Awesome.
just when we walked in, you can see like the mop bucket was still here. The trash looked like it was about to be taken out. You had a Bible open on the kitchen countertop. You had a Bible open upstairs. Two TVs were on. It just seems like whoever was here just bolted, you know, all of a sudden. So.
That's awesome. Now, is there something, are you allowed to tell some details about the case, or I don't
Yeah.
want
Yeah, I can talk about some
to.
details about the case. The case is a family moved in here 5 weeks ago. Well, I'm going to start from the beginning. A woman owned this house. She gave it to her son. He died of cirrhosis of the liver 3 years ago. He was a violent alcoholic and beat his wife. She left him. He died alone. He had one friend that helped him out. That friend, it was agreed upon that friend would stay 1 year in the house and then move on. He moves on, and a family moves in. They move out 2 weeks later. And then somebody buys it. They stay here very briefly, and now they're renting it out, trying to sell it. And the first tenants they rent it to are these tenants here. So they've only been here 5 weeks, and there's been high activity ever since they moved in. Well, one of the claims, which I have pictures of, is they had 12 pictures up on the wall going upstairs, and she walked downstairs, got the mop bucket ready. This is what actually set them running out the house. She looked back up, and the picture frames were up on the wall, but the pictures inside the frames were gone. And they still don't know where it's at.
That's
One, her
crazy.
little girl, now it's a claim, but they don't know if it's for sure. She slipped or fell. The little girl claims she was pushed and her face fell into the wall. One little boy was pushed into the wall. TVs were thrown. Pictures have been thrown across the room. A high poltergeist activity. So that's basically where we're at.
Now, do you think that can you like stepping into the place? I don't know if you're there now, but
I'm here right now. I'm actually in the kitchen of the home right now.
all right. Now, can you feel any kind of energy from the place that you could maybe pick up, positive or negative?
Yes, kind of when I walked in. Well, two investigators walked in before I did, and they said they heard footsteps upstairs. One thing is when they left July 4th, and came back the next day just to check on things, the attic was open. So that's what really made them not want to go back, period. But when I walked upstairs and into the first bedroom, I could feel like a heaviness in there. But I'm not really as sensitive. I'm just a investigator, you know. My kind of talent is with equipment and doing the paranormal research. So.
What equipment do you have with you tonight?
Right now we have two DVR systems. We're just going to use one. We have eight channels, so we're probably going to run six cameras. No need for eight cameras. We have our K2s. We have three different spirit boxes. All have been modified differently. We have our digital recorders, of course, our K2 meters, our EM pumps, which we're going to use to draw in the energy and shoot out electromagnetic fields so it can we can help the spirit manifest itself.
Yeah.
So a lot of equipment.
Yeah, a lot of equipment, definitely. Now, those ghost boxes that are detuned, how does that help you in your investigation now? Because now, are both of them, one's like FM detuned and the other one's FM detuned? Is that how it works?
One of them is, they're all PSD7s. One of them's detuned in the AM sweep with the antenna removed. The other ones are a older model, which sweeps differently. Instead of like 100, 250 amps per minute, it sweeps per second, millisecond. It's just like at 80. It's been modified differently. So they're all three pretty much different. We have just a regular SB7. We get our best results from that. And I tell you something, like, we could have no activity going on, and we turn on that spare box, and activity will pick up. It just seems like it's easiest for them to use. You know, it seems like it just attracts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we still like the, you know, the old K2. The old K2, we can communicate pretty well with them. But you can have a digital recorder going, the spare box going, the K2 there, and hold on a second. What's up? What's going on? Yeah, we're trying to set a baseline for the K2 meter. Just getting that consistent reading. Yeah, I'm sorry if I stop, you know. But it's what I was saying is, like, you could have all three devices going. Like, we've had a situation where you can have two K2s, and it's only going to communicate through one of them. So one K2 would just stay green. The other one will be communicating. They could be right next to each other. So if that's not paranormal, I really don't know what is.
How many people are standing around you?
Right now, I got six. No, five. Five right
you
now.
Got six?
Yeah, I got five standing around me right now working, and I got a couple upstairs getting the cameras ready.
Okay.
So,
are there any female?
Oh, yes. We have three. Actually, hold on 1 second.
Ooh, surprise. I wonder what he's doing.
I actually have a medium with me. There's one of the females.
A medium?
Yeah. Would you like to speak with her?
Yeah, sure.
Come on.
Yeah, that'd be
hold
great.
On 1 second. She's legit, trust me. Hold on.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. And what's your name?
My name is Samantha.
Hello, Samantha. How are you?
Good.
How long have you been with the team?
How long have I been with the team?
Mm-hmm.
Not very long. Maybe a month.
A month. Wow.
I'm with. I'm sorry. I'm good. I'm with Ghost Quest Paranormal.
Okay. Now, are you, how long have you been a medium for?
I would say something like 6 years is when it really kicked up.
Okay.
I haven't really experienced it all my life.
Can you pick up on any of the spirits in the place that you're at right now?
We'll pick up on a couple. Had a little bit of contact, but nothing really big so far. Except for feeling like my hip broke.
Oh,
We found out that someone here died of cirrhosis of liver, so I had a pain there too. So that's pretty much all.
Now, when you see a spirit, you actually see the physical form?
No, I see it in my mind's eye. I'm blessed not to have to actually see it. So, yeah, I mean, it's nothing as intense as actually physically talking with them. It's mostly in my mind's eye.
Okay. How often do you, when you are, like, say, at home or something like that, how often do you come to you talk?
I'm sorry, it's hard to hear you.
Okay, when you're home and you're just like relaxing or something like that, do spirits come to you often?
Not often. Sometimes, I'm able to kind of cut it out, you know, shut it out. Sometimes, it just depends on the spirit and the situation.
Okay. What signals do you that someone is there?
I just have a feeling. I guess some people would call it clairsentience. It's I can feel them. Sometimes it's different though. Sometimes I just, like I said, it depends on the spirit and how they approach me. Sometimes they'll speak to me. Sometimes they'll send me pictures, or sometimes they'll just, hey, I'm here, you know, kind of make me feel that way.
Okay. Have you ever had a negative spirit try to talk to you or, like, harm you?
No. I've had spirits try to just get my attention aggressively.
Okay.
Water, I don't think.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Now, when you try to communicate with spirits, do you have certain pictures that you use in your mind's eye to talk to them?
Well, when I talk to them?
Yeah, when you talk to spirits, do you have, like, certain pictures you use to communicate with them?
Sometimes they actually show me the actual word, or they'll show me pictures, or I'll kind of, sometimes it's almost audible. it's kind of like hearing something and not hearing something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how often do you, have you ever met another medium like yourself? Because the only reason why I asked that is that I wasn't sure if you ever were able to compare maybe your abilities to another medium that you've met.
Well, it's funny that you ask that, because I'm surrounded in my personal life by a lot of people who have gifts, whether it be, you know, some of them are empaths, I know full-on psychic. You know, different kinds of people. So it is different. I haven't really. I've had the psychic actually confirm with me over and over again that my gift is legit. So I've never compared notes. If that's what you're asking.
Yeah, that's basically. Okay. All right. When you're on an investigation, is there certain, do you do a walkthrough before the case? Or do you just go into the case? You know?
You mean walk through the house by myself?
Yeah, like before they do the investigation, doing a walkthrough, you know, kind of getting a feel for the place. Or do you, like to just kind of go at it without not having any kind of information?
Well, it. I mean, at first when we started, when I first started, actually, I wasn't sure about myself in this setting, so I did go in with information, but I like to go in with as little information as possible now.
Okay.
You know, I don't really ask questions. I just feel it out. Because I can't really tell you what is going to come through. It's just like a, you know, medium say it. I can't tell you, I can't guarantee you who will come through. Just, you know, that I'll try or, you know, whatever. I can't guarantee what the message will be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, have you ever performed a seance or anything like that?
No. That's kind of a stab in the dark for me, really.
Okay.
I mean, for me, it's like whenever you say, you know, is there anybody in the room? It's kind of, I don't know. I mean, in my experience, there's always somebody in the room. Spirit is always there. You know, it's the veil between this world and the next is so thin. It's thinner than skin. So I think.
Mm.
I happen to believe that,
yeah.
I'm kind of rambling, but I, you know, I happen to believe that more and more people are being able to exercise their gift and be gifted for, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay. Now, do you have any protection you wear when you communicate with the spirit?
Any protection? No, I usually just visualize like a white light around myself.
Okay.
You know, my spirit guides protect me. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I prefer to save myself afterward. But, you know, sometimes I can't do that until I get home.
Yeah. Okay. How long have you been doing paranormal investigation for?
Just as long as I've been with Ghost Quest.
okay.
Yeah, about a month. Maybe a little over.
Yeah, okay. All right. Now, your medium ability, do they run in your family?
I'm sorry?
Do your abilities as a medium run in your family?
You know, oddly enough, I'm finding out that certain gifts do. Mediumship, only in certain ways. Like, I guess I got the full-on mediumship. I mean, all of my sisters and my mom, I think, are empaths, which pretty much means that you can feel what other people are feeling. You can pretty much judge, you know, what the feel of the room is when you walk in. But I'm discovering that, you know, it's a, yeah, it could be, what do you call it, genetic. But I didn't experience my gifts like this until I became an adult. When I was a child,
okay.
I didn't experience anything like this.
Do you see any downsides to being a medium during your average day-to-day activity?
Depends on my mood.
Okay.
I'm able to shut it off. But, you know, sometimes if I'm having an emotional day or whatever, like, you know, like we do.
Yeah.
you know, I'll get like a random message from somebody I can't even tell who it's from. So
okay.
I kind of just have to ignore it and shut it off, especially since, you know, I still have a full-time job.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, how do you manage to, like, oh, I mean, Amy basically just answered the question, but do you think you can, like, still stick on that, like, you know, your everyday, you know, like, things like that?
I'm
does
sorry.
That
you're breaking,
like,
okay, you're breaking
sorry.
Up really bad.
Now, when you, all right, sorry. Now, as being the medium, do you have a hard time, like, living a normal life?
No.
I think it makes things.
I don't know. It makes things better if I'm able to read to people in an everyday
mm-hmm.
setting. I get
mm-hmm.
I don't get a negative feedback. I get more like I'm able to help people enrich their own lives, knowing that there's something else out there.
Absolutely. Is there any others there that want to communicate with you?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, like, talking in the background. All
right. Hang on. I'm going to go outside real quick. No, that doesn't help me. Okay.
Yeah. Are there any spirits there on the property that want to talk to you?
Obviously there is. I've never felt physical things before, and now I'm feeling them.
Okay.
Like, I'm feeling physical manifestations of activity. So it's new.
Okay. When you're in a place, say, that's kind of like negative energy, do you know that something kind of bad's gonna happen, or do you kind of have like premonitions of things that could happen?
If usually, even in my, you know, everyday life, my spirit guides will, you know, kind of give me signals and whatnot, just in case something will happen. I can't really give you a specific signal, but, you know, I'll get a feeling, a gut feeling, not to go in here or do this or do that, whatever. But I really haven't experienced any place all that negative.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, Jeremy can probably fill you in on a couple of things.
Okay. Are you going to give the phone to Jeremy?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Hello,
Jeremy. How are
Hello?
You?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Hello. Doing great. So, in your investigation tonight, I understand that there was some kind of negative activity. Now, I wanted to know, in your experience, do you think that you'll expect any kind of negative activity tonight as well?
Well, throughout my experience of paranormal investigating, even though you have individual hauntings themselves or individually hauntings, they all have an undertone to them. In other words, when you do a series of negative energy kind of, you know, investigations,
mm-hmm.
even though the haunting, the specific location and the things that's going on, they're different, but they all have like the same undertone to them, such as demonic forces like to hang out in the attic. I ran across that in several cases. And this house here had activity from the attic. The attic door was actually coming open and stuff like that. And they would hear, you know, footsteps and stuff in the attic. And
mm-hmm.
you know, that's one of the undertones that you get in a haunting like this. And another thing you have is scratching in the walls and stuff like that. And I think that this, even though I'm not 100% sure positive on it yet, I think that's one of the claims here. I mean, this family, they just moved into this house not too long ago. I think it was the 4th of July. They finally had enough. The pictures were coming off the wall, basically flying off the wall and stuff. So they left. They basically been living with their mother-in-law, all crammed up in this one little room. From what I understand, she's actually contacted the news down here to try to find answers because the owner of the house really doesn't want to work with them on this. You know, basically he told them it's their problem. Which, you know, you get that a lot, especially in the cities. Especially if you deal with a city like New Orleans, that Hurricane Katrina, all the activity in the city itself, because the city's, what, almost 300 years old, I think. In 3 years, it'll be 300 years old. So you have a lot of stuff going on here at one time. Main thing we have to figure out is what kind of haunting it is and what caused it. And able for us to get rid of it. You know, our number one goal is tonight is to help the family. I mean, we're their last resort, you know. They have nowhere else to turn to. They're counting on us. So no matter what happens, we have to help this family.
Yeah.
And that's our objective tonight.
What are some differences between, let's say, a negative spirit and a demonic entity? Because sometimes they can be confused with sometimes being the same thing. Investigate it as a while.
A negative spirit is going to be exactly what it is negative. Your average haunting, you might see an apparition of an old lady standing there or something, you know, every once in a while, or you might hear footsteps here and there. But that's basically the whole haunting in itself. That's basically what it is. Now, when you're dealing with something demonic, this is my opinion. Spirits that were once living human beings, they have rules they have to follow after a death, okay, as far as communicating with the living. Demonic spirits, they have no boundaries. They have no rules. I mean, you have to understand a demonic, and I'm not sure that this is what we're dealing with, a demonic spirit. Their number one rule is to make you believe they don't exist. You know, that's what gets – they don't want you to know how they operate. Because once you figure out how they operate, then you figure them out. And that's what they don't want. And they will go through whatever it takes to try to feel that.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and Amy wishes you luck on resolving the haunting.
Do what?
Amy wishes you luck on resolving the haunting.
That's great. And look, we appreciate it. We need all the help and all the prayers we can get tonight. And I say this to all your listeners out there. If you're out there and you're listening tonight, please pray for us because we're going to need all the help and all the positive energy that we could possibly have to help this family.
Okay. Absolutely. And I'm sure our listeners will be praying, and Amy and I will definitely be praying for the family, and that you guys will be safe tonight.
That is wonderful, man. I can't tell you how much we appreciate that.
Absolutely. What kind of things are you guys going to be using tonight to and I don't know if tonight was just to investigate it, to examine, or if you guys were removing the entity from the house?
No, hopefully at the end of the night we'll be able to remove it. First thing we have to do is we're going to use DVR systems. It's downstairs and an upstairs. We're going to put one of the DVR systems in the attic, in case it wants to stay separated from us. Hopefully we'll catch some activity in the attic through the DVR cameras. We're going to use a spirit box. We're going to do some K2 work. We're going to do what we call flash EVPs, which is like a little 5-minute EVP session. Then you go back and you listen to it right then and there. And hopefully by the end of the night, we'll know more about what's actually going on here. And then we're going to do a saging. And through my experience, I've done several sagings. And so far, I'll say I have a good track record with saging. Mm-hmm. I do a sazing of the house first, and then after that, I'll use dragon's blood, which is for protection. And sometimes the things get really hairy, and you're dealing with the demonic force. We'll also do a warfare prayer after we do the saging. We'll actually do the warfare prayer as we're doing the dragon's blood through the house, which takes place right after the saging of the house. I've had to use that only once so far, and I really hope that we don't have to use that tonight, because when you use a warfare prayer, things get pretty nasty really quick. You know, it's just one of those things to where... Coming in?
What exactly is dragon's blood again?
Dragon's blood is for protection. In other words, when you sage a house, you're removing the spirits, okay? You're filling the house with positive energy is what saging is. Dragon's blood adds an extra layer of protection, because saging, I mean, let's face it, in some instances, saging can only last for so long. In other words, if you have a client that's living a negative lifestyle, so to speak, you can sage that house, but if they don't change their life, it's only going to hold for so long. But what dragon's blood does is it has a very potent smell to it, and it's actually a layer of protection in the house, and it will keep anything from being able to enter back in the house. And dragon's blood, look, I'm a true believer in dragon's blood. When I first read about it, you know, I wasn't too sure, you know, but I've actually tried it, and I've done 3 houses that I've actually used dragon blood on, and I'm proud to say there has absolutely been no activity inside the house. Now, in one case, there is activity outside the house, but there is no activity inside the house. And that's our main goal.
Yeah.
You know, your house is your safe haven. That's where you live. You go out in the world, let's face it, it's a dangerous world we live in, but your house should be your safe haven. And that's kind of what dragon's blood does. I guess if you really think about dragon's blood, it's kind of like putting salt around the house, but it's just done in a different way. And the number one key that I learned about doing this is you have to truly believe in what you're doing. Because when you truly believe in what you're doing, what are you doing? You're releasing positive energy.
Mm-hmm.
And positive energy drowns out the negative energy. So, you know, and I tell clients all the time, look, I'm going to sage this house, but you have to truly believe in what I'm doing here, because if you don't, it's not going to work. I mean, it's kind of like, let's say, a crucifix, for an example. If there's no belief in your faith behind that crucifix, it's just an object. Your faith in that crucifix, what it represents, is what makes it a crucifix. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, that's kind of the same principle with saging a house. You know, the person that's performing the saging has to truly believe in what he's doing. You know, the people that in the house, they're going to have to leave. They're going to have to live in the house after the investigator leaves. So they have to also believe in what you're doing, too. In a lot of cases, when you meet people, especially in this kind of situation, they're desperate. They will do whatever they have to do. You know, you go in there and you fix their problem and give them their life back. I mean, that's why I do this. I don't do this for talking on the radio or being on shows or anything like this. I do this because I want to help people. That's what my calling was. There's no other reason. And in my opinion, you know, I'm not going to bash on any other groups, because, you know, people have their different reasons why they do it. But I say if you're not in it for the right reasons, you don't need to be in it. This is what it's about right here. It's about helping people. And that's just the bottom line. You are here to help people, whether it's in the paranormal realm or giving back to your community. That's what it's about.
Yep, absolutely. Now, have you ever, going back to saging and what you're talking about with negative entities and demonic, have you ever had to experience someone being possessed by a negative entity or a demonic?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I've done 2 cases. As you know, I'm involved in a book that's coming out by Joy Stinson called Out of the Darkness. I witnessed exorcism done on her. And in order to do cleanse somebody of an exorcism, you have to get the demon to identify itself. And I'm not going to say the name here, because when you say the name, You'll empower these things, and that's the last thing I want to do. But I've seen a 100-pound woman, okay, with Parkinson's disease. It took three men, 250 pounds and over, to hold this woman down. Okay, and it just blew my mind. And I've seen this woman's jaw come, like, open twice the size that a normal person could open their jaw. And this real deep, dark voice comes out of her mouth and identifies herself. At that moment, you realize, you know what, this is real. This can be very dangerous if you do not know what you're doing and if you do not take the right precautions. This can be very dangerous. Dealing with the same, you know, also a couple weeks ago, I was doing a house in Denham Springs, Louisiana. The guy that lived in the house, he really didn't want nothing to do with the investigation the whole time we were there. He was more interested in laying on a couch playing with a cell phone. Well, after the investigation, we staged the house. He was fine. He stood right there. And this goes to show you the power of dragon's blood. After I got done staging the house, I went back to the back of the place, worked my way up with the dragon's blood. Well, as I'm standing in the back bedroom, he gets up and he leans, he crosses his legs and he crosses his arm and he leans against the hallway and he looks at me. His eyes were black. You could not see no white in his eyes. And I asked him, I said, "Are you okay?" He didn't respond to me. Didn't blink, didn't take his eyes off of me, nothing. And I asked him again, I said, "Are you okay?" Again, same response, which was nothing. Finally, I got a little firm with him. I said, "Hey, I'm talking to you. Are you okay?" He never blinked, never spoke. He just shrugged his shoulders like, you know, I don't know. So I knew right then and there from dealing with my case with Joy from the book, Out of the Darkness, it was time to bring out warfare prayer. So I actually got the wife of the house, which is where a lot of the spirits were targeting with her, to read a warfare prayer. And I told her, do not stop. No matter what happens here, do not stop. Because I literally thought he was physically fixing to attack me. I mean, I was a little nervous. I'm a big guy, but I was nervous. And I told her, do not stop no matter what happens. Well, as she starts reading the warfare prayer, he gets on the couch and he's antsing around. I mean, he's running his hand through his hair. He's got sweat coming off him repeatedly. I mean, it was like he was in pain. And she kept on pressing. I told her, don't stop, don't stop. Well, towards the end of the warfare prayer, he got worse. And then when she finished, he stood there for a second with his hand over his face. And then all of a sudden, he looks up and he's like, why are y'all all looking at me? He claims he has no recollection of anything that happened while I was doing the warfare prayer. So, you know, that... it just goes to show you, you know, there is a dark force out there. Naturally, you believe in good, you have to believe in evil. And it's everywhere, man. You find it in places that you just wouldn't believe. Like this place tonight, upscale, nice neighborhood, very nice looking house. But you have this. So, you know, it goes to show you, if you don't live your life right, and I'm not saying that these people are doing this because some people are just victims, but I'm speaking like, you know, somebody curious, they want to play with a Ouija board, et cetera. Look, you open up a doorway when you do this stuff, and unfortunately, you can't control what comes through that door.
Mm-hmm.
So stay away from that kind of stuff. Try to live your life the best that you can be.
Yeah, that's some great advice. And thank you guys for coming on tonight and calling into the show and to talk about your investigations. And, you know, just to kind of talk with on the radio show tonight. Really, really appreciate it. And I hope the best. Amy and I hope the best for you guys' investigation tonight. And we will be praying for you and the family.
Thank you. I want to tell you thank you and all your listeners for the prayers. I mean, that means a lot to us. And we need as much as we can get.
All right. Thank you. And have a great investigation and a great night.
You too. Good night.
All right, good night. And thank you for tuning in to Paranormal Access Radio. Join us next Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Have a great night, guys.